tonight to, as I said at the beginning of the service, to welcome Solomon and Kaylin, and who I think has already left the building, right? Hopefully she'll come back, and Ashley, who here, who is wandering along the front pew into the community, not only of this fellowship here at Servants of Christ, but into the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ, the worldwide body of Christ. And you know, I thought tonight, I thought to myself, Alex, actually I didn't think tonight, I thought early in the week, I thought, Alex, there's a lot in this service here. How do we start this? How do we initiate these first three children to be baptized in our community? And it occurred to me that as Anglicans, we live in a world that, and even within a wider church community, that sometimes questions whether or not children should be baptized. And so, with your permission, I would like to just spend a very short amount of time tonight in the sermon explaining what it is that we want to do here in bringing these three beautiful, precious kids into our fellowship. And so, with your permission, I'm going to talk not from the Scripture, which is not my norm, but rather to tell you a little bit about baptism. So, by the power of modern technology, I've crossed from the 20th to the 21st century, and my friend Jose is helping me to bring to you a few points, maybe to help clarify this. Tonight, we want to consider infant baptism. And to do that, we have to really look at what baptism means. Now, almost all Christians, all those who profess Jesus Christ as Lord, agree on at least these five things. First, we agree that we need to be baptized in obedience to Jesus' command. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded." Jesus commanded baptism, and Christians agree that this is a good thing. Secondly, just about every Christian I know agrees that baptism is the recognition that God forgives sins through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul put it greatly when he said that we are buried in the likeness of Christ's death and we are raised in the likeness of Christ's resurrection. Everything we do as Christians focuses on, obsesses on, if you want to say, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is only because of His sacrificial death and His coming to life again on the third day that we have new life in Christ. And so we are baptizing these children and adults that we baptize into the living hope that Christ has forgiven our sins because of His atoning death. Third, we agree as Christians, just about every Christian, that Jesus accomplished the work of redemption. His death on the cross was sufficient. He died for the sins of the world 2,000 years ago. And there He obtained the promise of forgiveness for all of us. I like the way one person has put it. A check has been written in your name. It is salvation. It is life in Christ. It is eternal life, as the Gospel of John says. And it's been given to all of us. It was signed there on our behalf in Jerusalem, outside the city walls at Golgotha 2,000 years ago. Christians agree on these things about baptism. Four, it's the mark of the church. Michael Green, a man who's written a great book called Baptism, says the community of the church had and still has only one badge of belonging, baptism. Throughout the ages, since the church was founded by our Lord, baptism has always been the way of recognizing membership. Any person can join this fellowship, can be a member of this church by virtue of their baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is the mark of the church. And like I said, all Christians agree on that. And lastly, we agree that a child or an adult is not saved, does not enter into salvation simply by the outward sign or sacrament of baptism. In other words, if all we're doing is getting wet, then all we're doing is getting wet. This baptism signifies something spiritually that is going on. We give thanks for the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, as you remember, is there dying next to the Lord Jesus as He dies on His cross. And in faith, ask Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Never baptized, yet promised an eternal future with Jesus Christ. So it is not that which we do here tonight that saves these children nor ourselves, but it is trust and faith and the redeeming death of Jesus Christ. So that's what all Christians agree on. Just a bit. I mean, there might be a few on either extreme that would disagree with that. But by and large, a majority of the worldwide Christians, most of the 2 billion Christians, would agree with those five things I just said. So where does our differences come about baptism? Well, it comes in where we place the emphasis. Now, I don't know a lot about a lot. But I know a little bit about being a Baptist, because I was one. And I know a little bit about being an Anglican, because I am one. And so I can speak to those differences. There are extreme positions that we don't have time to talk about tonight. But for your help, and for my help, I hope, I would like to just focus on the differences between, say, a Baptist or an Anglican view of baptism. And I want to say up front that neither a Baptist or an Anglican would necessarily disregard either emphasis by another group. And I'm not saying that one is right or that one is wrong. Simply that in what we do here today, we are choosing to emphasize something slightly different than what our Baptist brothers and sisters would. So what is the difference? Well, it comes down to this. Do we emphasize the outward witness of our response to God, which is what a Baptist would say? We are recognizing that we have responded to God, and therefore we are baptized. That's why, in the Baptist tradition, you profess Jesus as an adult, and then you are baptized. Or we see baptism as an outward sign of God's covenant response towards the person who's being baptized. Do you see the difference? It's whether you focus on what we're doing in response to God or whether we're focusing on what God has done to respond to us. Our response to God would be a tradition that would focus on believers' baptism, that you would wait until you could, for yourself, say these words, I accept Jesus. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Whereas an Anglican view would say, we recognize that God has responded to us in Jesus Christ, and in the faith that He will offer that same opportunity to these children, we baptize them now, ahead of time. So it's the difference in the emphasis. Is the emphasis on my response to God or on God's response to me? Again, not right or wrong. Simply a difference in emphasis. An Anglican would call this a covenant understanding of baptism. A covenant understanding of baptism. And in doing that, we look back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, to be a member of the Jewish people was to be one, if you were a male, to be circumcised on the eighth day of life. And by being circumcised, that Jewish boy was brought into the full covenant of the people of Israel. They were set apart. They were one of the chosen Israelites. They were a part of the covenant people. Now, on the eighth day of life, I do not believe that Solomon probably could distinguish where he was and who he belonged to, except for Mama. I'm sure he knew that. The covenant understanding of baptism would grow out of this idea that in the Old Testament, children were brought into the covenant by virtue, if they were male, by their circumcision. And then they grew to understand what this covenant was about. Now, you might say, well, that was the Old Testament. So what does that got to do with the New Testament? Well, could be a good point. And I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm just helping you understand what it is we're about. I feel like if we're going to do this tonight, we need to understand it. There are some scriptures, however, that suggest that perhaps that was also in the mind of the Apostle Paul. And for that, I want to put up for you Colossians 2, 11 and 12. And in Colossians, Paul says this in chapter 2. In Him you were also circumcised, and the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. Well, in Colossians 2, Paul seems to be suggesting that there is something about the linking of the Old Testament view of covenant relationship, and that a child was brought into that covenant through circumcision, and the New Testament idea that through our baptism, through that outward sign, we're brought into this covenant relationship, this covenant community. Again, I'm not trying to convince anyone. I just want to explain it so we understand before we enter into it. So, in a nutshell, infant baptism strongly emphasizes that God's covenant salvation is available to new members. Tonight, we are acknowledging that Solomon and Kaylin and Ashley are invited in to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That they are invited to participate in the life-giving blood of Jesus. That's why you notice that they're all wearing white. That signifies that they are wrapped in the righteousness of Christ. That we are wrapping them up, if you will, as a present unto God. And we are offering these children up to the Lord, and we're saying, Lord, here are these three that we want to covenant with you to teach the faith and to raise them to understand this incredible gift we've been given in the redeeming life of Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Tonight, we recognize that these are little sinners. They seem so adorable. How could they possibly be sinners? Well, be around them when they're tired and cranky and 2.5, and when somebody wants to take a toy, or when it's bedtime. And even though they do not yet have a mature understanding, they too need Christ. And we recognize tonight, again, our emphasis, that God has responded to that need. And that's what we recognize in the baptism that we're about to do. So, to wrap this up, it's going pretty quick, Jose. Why baptize children? Well, I can think of four reasons. The first one is to recognize that these children are being raised in believing families. The question that always comes to my mind, and what I had to wrestle with when I had to decide if I was going to be an Anglican, was what difference does it make that these children are being raised by believing parents? What is the difference? Well, the difference is that they're going to be nurtured in the faith. They're going to be raised up in this covenant community. They're going to experience parents who are praying for them and who are teaching them at every stage of development what it means to put their trust in Christ. And that, I think, makes a difference. And so we baptize them to recognize this difference. You need to know that I am not one who will baptize any child. I feel very strongly about this. If we're going to have a covenant understanding of baptism, then we need to have a part in these children's lives. And I've talked with these families, and they understand that. They understand that this is not a dunk them and then run out the back door kind of a situation. But because they're being raised in Christian homes, taught, and these parents will make commitments in a minute to understand the commitment they've made, then we recognize that. Secondly, we set these children apart to the Lord. Here we're very much like the Baptists, because if you know, in the Baptist church you have baby dedications where we do the same thing. We set this child apart. We recognize that this is a Christian family. We set them apart to unto the Lord. We say, Lord, this is one that we want to give back to You. We want You to nurture this child in Your grace. It also recognizes that there are many things spiritually that we do not understand. Kaylin's saying, wrap it up. See, God speaks in mysterious ways. So we set these children apart. Thirdly, the parents make a commitment here tonight. A very, very serious commitment. And the godparents. If you're a parent or a godparent, you are committing. You are covenanting with the Lord to make sure that you will pray and intercede for this child. You have my permission and the permission of these parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to share Jesus with these children. As a matter of fact, you have to. It is your requirement. And lastly, we as a community, we the community of church, we have a part to play. Why baptize a child? Because we recognize that this is not just a decision that one individual will make at some point in their life. But because that child has been born into this community, we all play a part in that. And we are willing to play our part to say what we can do to provide ministry, to provide a children's ministry that will teach and train this child, to provide care in our nurseries and to love and pray for this child and correct them when there's opportunity in this community. That we take seriously that this child is not just growing up someplace in the world, but they're growing up here. And so that is why I would suggest that we baptize these children. Lastly, let me just say my own testimony. I grew up and I struggled with whether or not to baptize my children. I was baptized at 9. And then about 19, I really began to understand what it meant to be a follower of Christ. And I was baptized again. That's the difficulty. When do you understand enough to really get it? I finally, after much consideration and prayer, I decided that it was God's will that I baptize my children. And my son Jake was baptized at about 9 or 10 months, because it took me a while. Year and a half, okay. All I can tell you is that when Jake knelt down on his bed at age 5 and came to us and said, or actually older than that, about 7, wasn't it? And said, Mom and Dad, I want to accept Jesus. I want to be His follower. And he prayed to receive Christ. I gave thanks for his baptism. I wept for his baptism. And so tonight, I want you to know that that's what we're doing. That's what we're beginning with these kids. They're starting down their own spiritual pilgrimage with our Lord. And we are honored to invite them in tonight. If Kaylin's still willing, I don't know. She left, so I'm now going to stop talking and invite them these families to come forth and allow us to see and be with these children who are coming for baptism.